Let's talk to Bran Walker, who's a professor of politics at Queen's University. Bran, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead, Bran.
Stephen, the point I would make is you're very critical of the parties. I'd be very critical of you, I'm afraid. I think that you're part of the problem. I am afraid I feel that your programme constantly escalates the tension. And we've seen that over the Irish language issue. We've seen it over this issue at the present. What we need at the moment is compromise, is moderate voices. But I'm afraid your programme, in my opinion, provides a platform for extreme views.
And your opinion should prevail, and we should just censor all of the other people who maybe aren't professors of politics and just keep them off the air, Bran. Is that your opinion?
By all means, but let me illustrate how you've done that over the Irish language, for example.
Sorry, before we get to the Irish language, let's just stress, if you don't mind, and I'm happy to discuss this with you.
Yes.
So what you're actually saying is for all of the people that phone this show, you say you want moderate voices.
Yes.
So you would decide what's moderate, or someone would define what is moderate, and you therefore want me to tell people who are phoning this show, sorry, you're not moderate enough, we're keeping you off.
No, it's not just opinion of other people, it's your opinion. Constant negativity.
We don't keep people off the air.
No,
hold up, we'll get on that in a second. And I don't want to sound defensive, because I think this is a conversation that needs to happen. So thank you for bringing it up, Brian. You've just said that what we need are moderate voices.
That's correct. That's correct.
So are you?
I've rung up your program 5 times over the last week. This is the first time I've got on. So thank you very much for hearing me.
Not a problem. So we get hundreds and hundreds of calls a day. Are you saying to me that the Nolan Show should censor voices that aren't moderate enough?
No. What I'm saying is that when you bring on people who make extreme statements, for example, say that every street in the country should have an Irish name, or there should be quotas, then you should bring on people able to challenge that.
Yeah.
And I said, what you do is you bring other extreme people who make statements, as you constantly have, from David McGarry and Jim Alistair.
His name's David McNary.
McNary and Jim Alistair.
So let's deal with that then. When you say we bring on people...
Well, how many times have you had Jim Alistair on in the last 2 weeks?
Hold on a moment.
He's on every day, isn't he?
Hold on a moment. So let's just deal with that point, okay?
Yes.
So when you say that we brought people on who said that every street sign throughout Northern Ireland should be in Irish,
yes.
Actually what we did was we brought Conradh na Gaeilge on, which is an organisation which represents many people's thoughts on the Irish language, and we brought Pobla on.
Yes.
Again, Pobla, sorry, an Irish language representative group.
Yes.
And they said what they said. Again,
and
did you want me to keep them off?
And why then didn't you bring on people, say, from the universities who could have made moderate views about the Irish language?
You're on now with the Alliance Party on, with SDLP on.
Instead of that, when you want to give UUP on, you bring on Jim Alistair, who makes extremist statements about the Irish language and the IRA. Now, the result of this is that it encourages scare tactics out in the community. When Arlene Foster came on 10 days ago and made this statement about there'd be no compulsory Irish language in the schools, no one be forced to learn Irish. Well, why did you say that? It's because the whole thing had been hyped up.
Well, there was no one. When Arlene Foster said that, I'm not sure there was anyone. I hadn't seen or heard anyone in the media say that there would be compulsory Irish language in the schools. I've no idea why Arlene Foster said it.
But it shows how the tension was built up, and your programme, by having these other views that went unchallenged, were all part of the way that was all hyped up.
Well, Bran, it's not true that the views are unchallenged. It's just simply... I would expect a professor at Queen's University not to say things that are just factually untrue. You're suggesting that someone comes on the Nolan Show, makes a statement, and they're not challenged. I'll shut up. So here's what I'm going to do on that basis of what you've just said, because you alluded to the Irish language groups, Pobla and Conradh na Gaeilge. I am going to publish online what how we absolutely challenged them when they made that statement, and also publish your assertion that that's not what we do.
Right, but by all means. And then here's what I'd like you to do as well. Can you tell us, please, how many times Jim Alistair has been on BBC radio in the last 2 weeks?
I simply don't know.
Well, you can find that out, I'm sure. You've got researchers. And the second thing I'd like you to tell
me... You can find it out too, because it's all public.
Well, perhaps you let me know. And the other thing I'd like to know, how many MLAs does Jim Allister have in Stormont?
And your point, Brian, is that he doesn't represent...
He is. He's a minority view. And you have him on the television, you have him on the radio making... Now, he's perfectly entitled to make those points. But at the same time, it's important you bring on more moderate people.
And more moderate people are as welcome as anybody else.
Yes, well, yes, but it's also the way you handle this. Now, there are two ways you can handle a problem. You can stir the pot or you can pour oil in troubled waters. And I'm afraid your programme of affairs to pour oil in troubled waters to encourage division. For example, you've had politicians on and pointing out to them that they've moved away from the original positions. You're criticising over this. But that's a good thing. I mean, our parties dug themselves in with extreme views about the Irish language, for example. Now when they try to move away from that, you challenge them and say that they're breaking their word. An entirely different way would be to encourage them to move away from these
hard
positions.
It's not for me to encourage a politician. It's not for me to do that.
Yes, but the approach you take is to discourage them from any compromise. You discourage them from moving away from red line positions, saying, oh, you had a red line position, now you're moving away from it.
So, Brian, when you say it would be a good thing, and clearly you're entitled to your opinion, when you say it would be a good thing for them to move away from their original positions, can I actually remind you what the Nolan Show did? We set out the promises that both of these party leaders made to the electorate when they were seeking their vote.
Yes.
And we challenged them on why they were then breaking those promises. Now, for you to suggest that is in some way stoking up division, did you see what happened to Nick Clegg when he promised students about tuition fees and he then went back on his word? Are you seriously telling me it's not the role of a journalist to say to these political leaders, sorry, here are the promises you made, why aren't you sticking to them?
Yeah, but you've also another argument, which is that we're a divided community, we have these problems, we need to sort them out. And when people take hardline positions, then we have to find a way of moving away from those.
Well, why did they take the hardline position in the first place, you might ask, rather than blaming the journalists?
Elections and politics.
All about just getting a vote and then changing your mind later.
It's not a matter of changing your mind later, it's a matter of negotiations. And we want to encourage them doing that.
But they...
you want them to hold to their original position. Is that what you're up to then? You want them to stick in their trenches.
I don't want them to do anything, nor do I have the right to suggest anything around it. I think my job is to hold politicians accountable when they make promises, cast iron, guarantees to the public.
Right.
And a citizen votes on that basis.
Yes.
I think it is absolutely the role of
a
journalist to
challenge that. It's your duty to keep politicians accountable to this community, to the better health, the well-being of this community. And when they've taken fundamental positions, they have to move away from these positions if we're to have any movement. And it's equally your responsibility to encourage that. I mean, you are a public body. You are funded by the taxpayers. And the overall good of the community is what's important, not the pride or the earlier positions of these politicians.
You see, it just seems to me, Brian, that what you're slightly inferring, and if I've got this wrong, tell me if I've got it wrong.
Yeah.
It seems to me that you're slightly inferring that it's the role of the BBC or indeed me here on the Nolan Show to somehow try to cover up the division or to put a little bit of jam on top of it. That's not the role of the BBC. It's not the role of the Nolan Show.
I agree, but it's not your job also to stir the pot, stoke up the problem.
So for all of those people who were coming on the radio, Brian, who were expressing frustration and anger, what do you want me to do with them?
Well, I want you, when you handle this, don't just simply give in to negativity. Take a more positive view on things.
Why should I take a more positive view on anything? Why should I not remain neutral?
Yeah, but you're not remaining neutral.
And
you're not remaining neutral. You're remaining extremely negative, constantly critical of these politicians. Whereas there's more to be said for trying to encourage them.
So you think it is the role of a BBC presenter to encourage politicians?
Yes, but it's not your
role.
You
do you?
I do, yes, I do. It's
well,
not your...
there's where we are fundamentally, there's where I think you've lost the plot with respect.
It's not your role.
It's the role of a journalist to encourage politicians?
No, but it's not your role
to
encourage.
Are you for real?
But it's not your role to discourage them and to be completely negative.
Completely agree with that too. But I certainly, and there's where we differ. So you actually think it's the role of a journalist to encourage politicians?
I think it's the role of a journalist not to stir the pot, not to be constantly negative, and discourage compromise.
Maybe we should just regurgitate their press releases and not question them about anything, Brian.
Well, on the other hand, it might be better to take a more positive approach to these things and not just simply become part of the problem to escalate the tension.
And do you think all of our callers are escalating the tension too?
Well, you select them.
As we selected you today.
Yes, thank you. After 5 days. No, it would worry me. You're the biggest show in the country, and therefore you have a responsibility.
We do.
A responsibility to this community, and this community is deeply divided, and therefore there is a strong need for calmness, for reconciliation. When people come on and make extreme statements, then it's got to be challenged properly.
They are challenged.
Not by bringing on another extreme person.
They are challenged.
Yes, like you bring on an Irish language thing and then you bring on Jim Allister. This is hardly encouraging moderate debate.
So every single day we invite the DUP and Sinn Féin on. We had the Alliance Party on, we had the SDLP on, we had people like yourself criticising, we have the UUP on. Let me let you hear from some of the callers. Miriam Lurgan. Morning, Mary.
Hello, Stephen. At that rate of going, you wouldn't be a presenter for the radio. You'd be on Stormont. I'm just listening to that caller there, and I just think only for the Stephen Owen show, people in Northern Ireland like myself would only be a dot. We wouldn't even exist. We would hear nothing of what's going on in Stormont or anything about anything.
Well, I think what Bram Walker is saying is certainly, to be fair to him, Mary, I've heard it before, and I'm hearing it at the moment that the Nolan Show is part of the problem, and by inference, Mary, it means.
Why are you part of the problem?
Well, Brian's saying that we're stoking it up, that you're all not as angry as the Nolan Show is making out, I guess.
But he mustn't listen. He mustn't listen every day to different callers with different things. And I know everybody feels different, Stephen. But I can only tell you my story. And I've been on your show many a time and I've never had any problem getting through.
Okay.
You even rang me one night you were on the television.
Mary, thank you. Alan Carrickfergus. Morning, Alan.
Morning, Stephen. I just wanted to say to the professor, with all due respect...
Well, speak to him directly now. Speak to him directly. Bronson.
Professor, with all due respect, you're obviously a very well-educated man. I think you've lost a run of yourself here. In the last couple of elections, about 70% of the people in this country voted for either Sinn Féin or the DUP, and I assume that's what you refer to as the extremes. So how are the extreme views when so many people vote for those?
Sorry, I never said that. I never said that.
You said extremes.
No, it's the exact opposite of what I'm saying. These parties at the moment are trying to strike a deal. They're trying to come up with compromise. And the comments and approach of this programme has made that more difficult by constantly emphasising divisions, constantly emphasising original principles which Stephen Nolan is trying to hold them to. These people have been trying to compromise and move on, and he's very critical of that.
But you're talking about the people who phone in, and I'm one of those people, and I'm a DUP voter. And from what I'm gathering, you're saying that there shouldn't be as many people like me phoning in, and as many people who vote Sinn Féin get in on the radio.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all.
Well, you are saying you want more moderate voices.
That's right. I do say that. But what I'm saying is when it comes to things like the Irish language issue, other issues like that, and you give free rein to people to make statements that other people find alarming.
We give free rein to everyone, including those who find the statements alarming.
It's like false news. Fake news.
How is it
false news when the guy said it on the radio? The guy from Conor and Gaelic said it on the radio. How is that fake news?
That is correct. But it needed someone from the Irish language community to come on and challenge that. instead of which you bring on
what you're propagating this morning, Brian, is fake news. Because first of all, you said in the radio show we don't challenge those views. It's just simply incorrect.
What
we did when Conor McGillicuddy did that, just so that you know, as journalists, what we did was that's why we went to Pobla, because we tried to then seek another view. And we then went to Sinn Féin for a reaction, and we then opened up the lines for other calls. I'm going over here for a reason. Ronnie and Carrie Duff, very quickly for me, Ronnie, because we're out of time, but you're 100% behind the professor.
I'm 100% behind him, Stephen. In fact, I'll be honest, I go to several, as an old pensioner, I go to several pensioners' things, and you actually stirred up so much that I actually watched the pensioners throw something to the radio one day. Because you either incite the unionist community or you incite the Catholic community. And you do it both ways in such a way that you do it as if you almost seem to have to do it because to keep your program on air. That professor is perfectly right. More moderate people need to be talking about these subjects. As opposed
more
to
moderate people, more moderate people, Ronnie. People. More moderate people are very, very welcome. But to the day I die, this programme will not be some type of sugar-coated programme where the elite have a voice
I can't get on.
Well, you're on now.
Yeah, I'm on now, but we're about to turn it off because it's 10:30 and Sean's coming on.
Well, don't we turn it off. Keep it on. Brian Walker, thank you very much indeed. I do appreciate the conversation. I think it's an important one.